Okay, so today's daf is Psachim daf Samach Dalet. We're going to start on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 lines from the bottom. Well, we said that if you shecht, we said in yesterday's daf that if you shecht the Korban Pesach or you do Zrika Sadam, then if you have, or if you burn, or if you're the Kohen who burns the limb, burns the fats, so if you, or let's say one of the people, one of the group, one of the members of the group has chametz at the time when you shecht, so you violate the prohibition of lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. But the Gemara said, it's about 6 lines from the bottom, but hamolek esa'of bar ba'asar in over below klum. But if someone does malika, malika is the way that you kill a bird of an olas, let's say an olas oaf, a burnt offering of an oaf. So that is not done by shechita. That's done by malika. You nip off the head. You don't use a knife. So if you do malika barbasar on the 14th of Nisan, ain't over below klum. You don't violate the prohibition lo sishcha dechamis tav zivchi, because the way you killed the bird is not through shechita. Shechita is specifically with a knife. And here, if you didn't do it with a knife, then you don't violate the prohibition of lo sishcha dechamis tav zivchi. So the Gemara asks the question, Aminu, Hashulchan has a pesach dechamis over below tasa. If you shecht the korban pesach, when you have chametz, you violate a lo tasa. If you don't bear, afa tamid, even if you shecht the korban tamid on erev pesach, you violate lo sishcha dechamis tav zivchi. Lo amru ella. They said, no, the only time you violate lo sishcha dechamis tav zivchi is when you shecht the korban pesach, not any other korban. A masai, when do you violate the prohibition of shechita bizman sheish l'shochet l'zorek olecha b'mnei chabura? It's only when the one who shechts or sprinkles the blood, or one of the people who's is assigned to that animal, right, has chametz. Hayolecha b'sof olam in zokek lo. Someone has chametz somewhere else in the world, we don't care about him for our purposes. You don't violate lo sishcha for someone else who has chametz. And whether it's the person who shechs or sprinkles the blood or nips the chata, I'm sorry, it's not an olasof, the chata sa'of, the one who does malika of the chata sa'of, the sin offering, let's say a zav or yoledes, so the korban you bring when you're done, when you're becoming tahor, is a chata sa'of, or if you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, then you're chayav. Komet es mincha. But if you, you bring a mincha offering during the Yom Tov, during the holiday of Pesach, and you do kmitza, which is you take the handful, that's, I guess, the equivalent of Zrika Sadam with a flower offering, ain't over below tasa. You don't violate below tasa. Hamakdir esay murim, if you burn the limbs of the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan or other korbanos during the Moed, during the Pesach, ain't over below tasa. You don't violate below tasa. So now we have two questions. Kasha Malika, Malika Kasha Haktara Haktara. We have a question because in this brisa that we just read, we said that what? We said if you do Malika, you would violate Lo Tishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Secondly, we said that Haktara, if you burn the limbs, if you burn the fats here, since you don't violate. In the previous.
Rabbi, yeah. Who's Chai Hashochet as. And somebody in the chabura has chametz. Who's chayav?
It was in yesterday's daf. It said the shochet.
Right. It's the shochet is chayav.
Yeah. That's what.
Even though he doesn't have, he has no knowledge of it.
Okay. Then you wouldn't get well. Then you wouldn't get malchus, because you only get malchus if you do it intentionally. You won't get malchus.
So it's not the one who has the chametz.
No, it was yesterday's daf. I think it said lo sishchat, the one who does the shochet. Right? And the Mishnah, I think, says, echad ha-shochet. Right? Ha-shochet as ha-pesach ala chametz. And so we're talking about the person who does the... You have to do a maisa. So therefore, it's the one who does that act. So, okay. So we have a question, because in the first price, it seems that the one who does haktara is chayav, the one who does malika is pater. And in the second price, it seems it's the opposite. The one who does malika is chayav, the one who does haktara is pater. Velita meich, and according to your reasoning, that you want to bring a contradiction between the brises, tikshi lach higufa. You can ask the question, the second brise itself, the katani. Lo amru ela bePesach bilvad. B'haru tamei echad haShochet v'echad haZorek v'echad haMolek v'echad haMazeh. The second brisa starts off saying that what the only korban that you violate the prohibition on Sishchad haChametz dam zivchi when you own chametz is the korban Pesach, and then it starts talking about what whether you do malika on what, like whether you shochet zorek molek or mazeh, and malika is with a bird and it's not with korban Pesach. So the sefer of the brisa contradicts the resha of the brisa. So ela hab hab Rav Shimon. So rather, both brisos are like Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah, who says that other korbanos are exempt when you shech them with the chametz on the 14th, and you chayav, and you are chayav when you shech them during Pesach. So in other words, on the 14th of Nisan, you are only chayav lo sishcha chametz dam zivchi when you shech the korban Pesach, when you have chametz, and you're only chayav other korbanos when you shech them during Pesach, when you have chametz. Now, malika malika lokasha kam bar basar kam b'chol shamoi. So the first brisa is speaking about malika on the 14th, and that's why you're exempt because you're only chayav for the korban Pesach. And the second brisa, and the seifa of the second brisa is talking about chol hamoed, and that's why you're chayav on malika. Vidi vidi Rav Shimon hi, and both brisa, this brisa, and both brises are according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Haktar haktar nami lo kasha. It comes to the burning of the fats or the limbs. So if the one who burns it, if he owns chametz or not owns chametz, whether you're chayv or not. So the first brisa said that you are chayv. Second brisa said you're pater. So that's also not a question. That's a machlokas tanaim within Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Ika de makish haktar lishchita. Ika de man de lo makish. Because one opinion says that we do make this. This is from yesterday's daf that we say lo yolim as the one who is subject to the maktir, the one who burns the limbs or the fats, should not leave the forbidden fats until the morning. So do we make a hekesh from that to the one to lo shishcha lechametz dam zivchi? So that's there's a debate. One, the first price says we do compare the two, and therefore you are chayev, and the second one says we don't make that hekesh, and therefore you're not chayev. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, af hatamid, even the one who shechs the korban tamid on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, right, on Erev Pesach, violates the lo tasa. My tamid, Rabbi Yehuda, what's using Rabbi Yehuda? Amralach zivchi, zevacham yuchadli, mainihu tamid. What does the pasuk say? Lo sizbach al chametz dam zivchi. So what's zivchi? The zevach, the korban, they said you can't offer a sacrifice while you have chametz, the blood of my zevach. So the zevach, the korban that's designated to me, mind you, what korban is miyuchad l'Hashem, is designated to Hashem. Tamin, the korban tamin, why is it, why? Because what does the pasuk say? Korbani lachmi, right? Hashem refers to it as my korban, my bread. So that's the limud, why even the korban tamin, Erev Pesach, you violate the prohibition of Rabbi Shimon Omer, Pesach Bar Basar. Rabbi Shimon says, according to Pesach on the 14th, that you shech while you have chametz, you are chayav, but the other korbanos, you are pater, but during Chol HaMoed, you're chayav. Or during Pesach, you're chayav. My time, Rabbi Shimon, who says that there's a prohibition with other korbanos, but the time is different than the prohibition of the Korban Pesach. So dichsiv zivchi zivchi trei zimne. The pasuk says zivchi twice. It says lo sizbach al chametz dam zivchi, and it says lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. So the krei bei zevach zivachai. So we read in one pasuk zevach in lashon yachid, which is the korban Pesach, one korban. And the second pasuk, you read it as zivchi lashon rabim, many korbanos. Ulamai hilchasa polginhu rachmana mehadadi. So what? That's just the right. So why? For what purpose does the Torah distinguish the korban pesach from other korbanos? And below kasa of zivachai, why didn't it simply say zivachai in one place? In other words, the Torah says in one place, lo sishchat achamet dam zivchi. In another place, it says, lo sizbach achamet dam zivchi. Why doesn't it say, plural. Lo sishchat al chametz dam zvachai, and that referred to all the korbanos. Why is it mentioned the prohibition the two different times? So obviously to tell you that these are two different prohibitions. There's one prohibition of shechting one zevach while you have chametz, and there's a prohibition of shechting many zvachim when you have chametz, and therefore they are at different times. Uvamoe, right? Okay, so one is obviously, so therefore the zevach is erev Pesach, and the zvachai, the other korbanos, are during Pesach. The Mishnah says uvamoe, you shech the korban Pesach when you have chametz on Pesach. If it's lishmo, then you're pater, and if it's shelo lishmo, then you're chayav, right? Because if you shech the korban Pesach on Pesach, so that for the purpose of a korban Pesach, that's not a bona fide korban. Your pater from Malkus. But if you shechted it for the purpose of Shlomim, then that is a bona fide korban. Therefore you would violate the prohibition of shechting a korban while you have chametz. The Gemara wants to infer taiba the shelo lishma. The reason why you are chayav is because you specified explicitly, verbally, that you are shechting this korban Pesach shelo lishma, not for the purpose of korban Pesach, i.e. for the purpose of a korban shlamim, and so it's treated as a korban shlamim, and therefore you are chayav hastama. So if you were just shechta without intent for korban Pesach or for any other korban, then you'd be pater because it's still a korban Pesach. You messed up. You didn't shecht it on erev Pesach, but it's considered like you're shechting korban Pesach not according to its appropriate time, and therefore be an invalid korban. That would be a shechita she'ena ra'uya, an invalid shechita. Therefore, you would not be chayev for it, and therefore you would not be. I'm sorry. So therefore, you would not be chayev lo sishchat chametz dam zivchi, because it's not a bona fide shechita. Why is that true? Pesach b'shayimos hashana shlamim have. If a korban Pesach that the rest of the year is viewed as a shlamim, meaning what? Let's say you designated a sheep for your korban Pesach, and that sheep got lost, and you designated another sheep, and you sacrificed it, and you found the first sheep. So then that first sheep is brought as a korban shlamim. Therefore, it's a shechita ra'uya. It's a good shechita. Shamat mina pesach b'shor yimos hashana boy akira. So I guess we can learn from here. Let us learn from here that you need to actively uproot the shem pesach, meaning that you have to shecht it explicitly for the purpose of shlamim. And if you shechted it just stam without intention one way or the other, then it has a status of korban Pesach, and then it's invalid. In other words, the Gemara wants to infer from the Mishnah that once you designate an animal, a sheep, to be brought as a korban Pesach, it is always treated as a korban Pesach and no other korban unless you explicitly designate it for something else. So Amar Rabbi Chia, so why we say that? Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Gamda, Nizer Kavi Pichabura V'Amru Kigon Shehayu Ba'alim Tamei Meis V'Ninchim LePesach Sheni V'Stame L'Shum Pesach Koi. So he says the Chabura all agreed to this, like everyone agreed to this answer. They said to explain our Mishnah that we're not talking about that the Korban Pesach was lost. Because certainly in that case, you would not need Akira. In the case where, let's say, you separated a sheep, and then you lost it, and then you found another sheep, you designated another sheep, you bought it, then you found the first one, that second one does not need Akira. That one, you don't need to explicitly uproot it. Because, think about it, I designated one sheep for the Korban, and then I lost it, and I designated another sheep. So obviously, I'm done with the first sheep. So that first sheep, if I find it, that's for Shlomim. But what? What's our Mishnah talking about? Shehayu ba'alim tamei meis, so that the owners of the Korban Pesach were tamei meis. They were tamei on the 14th of Nisan. And therefore, they don't bring it on the first Pesach, but they bring it on the second Pesach. The stamei l'shum Pesach koi. In this instance, so it is presumably going to be brought for Pesach Sheni, and that's why you require akira. Normally speaking, you don't need to explicitly uproot and say, you don't specifically need to say, oh, I'm hereby using this Korban Pesach for something else. Why in our Mishnah does it say that you shechted it shelo lishmo? We're specifically talking about a case where it was still in the picture. You know, it was during Pesach, right? You didn't bring it on Erev Pesach, but you were Tamei Meis. So it's still in the ball game. It still might be brought for Pesach Sheni. So then you would need to explicitly uproot it for Pesach Sheni. But if Stam, you just missed it, you didn't bring it, you brought another korban, then you wouldn't need to explicitly uproot it for another Pesach. Okay, so our Mishnah is now going to explain the order of bringing the korban Pesach during the week and on Shabbos. Okay, it's a pretty long Mishnah. And it includes the role of the people, the Kohanim, how they do the Avodah, the various Avodos, and the Hallel, the flaying of the skin on Pesach. A Pesach Nishchat B'Sholosh Kitos. So the Korban Pesach is shechted every year in three different groups. You divide the tzibur into three groups. Now, how you know if there are a million people? I'm not sure. Okay, but let's say you have three groups. And every group shechs, and they bring the Korban Pesach by itself, one after the other. Even if there are very few people, and you can all shecht at once, there's a mitzvah to divide them into three groups. Shenemar v'shechtu, also kol kahal adat Yisrael. Kahal ve'eda v'Yisrael. So it says, kahal adat Yisrael, three different groups. Nichnasa kas rishona, Nismala Hazara and Nalu Dalsa Hazara. So the first group, right? It's first come, first served. I don't know if they're setting up all night before. First group comes in, they fill up the Hazara, the courtyard, and you lock the gates. Then what happens? When they begin to start to shech the Korban Pesach, they begin to say the Hallel. And then Taku, Hey Riva Taku, then the Kohanim blow the trumpets. A Tkia, then a Trua, then a Tkia. Hakohanim omdim shuros shuros. The Kohanim are standing in different rows from the place of the Shechita HaPesach, of the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, until the Mizbeach, so that they can accept the blood and to bring it to the Mizbeach. Right? Now, they don't have to shecht it, but they have to do the Kabbalah, the Holacha, and the Zrikas Adam. Uvideyam Zikei Kesef. And in their hands, there are these big, ladles of silver to receive the blood.
Bowls.
The Bezichei Zav, and other Kohanim had golden bowls. And they were in rows. Shura, Shekula, Kesef, Kesef. So the Shura, Shekula, Zav, Zav. So there's one row with silver bowls and one row with golden bowls. Lo Yuma or Ravim. They wouldn't get mixed up. Doesn't look good. You know, everyone has to be either one row is all silver, one row is all gold. And the bulls did not have, I guess, what is shulayim again? The bottom.
In their feet.
What?
In their feet.
Yeah, it was sharp.
The base.
The base, right. The base. There was no base. It was just sharp on the bottom. So that. They wouldn't shema yanichu because they're concerned that maybe the Kohanim would they didn't want the Kohanim to place the bowls on the floor, and then what's going to happen? They're going to leave it, then be kare shadam, then the blood would congeal. They can forget about it, and it would no longer be fit for zrika sadam. So they have these bowls with these sharp bottoms. So the Kohanim would all have to be able to carry them. So Shachat Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael, a member of the a Jew would be allowed to, Yisrael, non-Kohen is allowed to shecht Korban Pesach. The Shechita is permitted for a Jew, for all Korbanos. The Kibel HaKohed, and the Kohed would accept the blood in this bowl from the neck of the sheep. Okay, no snow, Lechabero, he would give it to his friend who's standing by him. On the row, and they pass it like a they pass the one to the next to the next to the next, and then to they, everyone would hand it off until they would sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. The last one was sprinkled on the mizbeach. Then he would return the empty bowl to the kohen near him, mekabelas es hamole, v'machzer es harekat. So kohen A would get a full bowl of blood. And then he would pass it next, and next, and next, and next, and next. Everyone would get full, sprinkle on the mizbeach, and then when the bowl's empty, then you would give it back to the next that coin, to the next coin, next coin, next coin, to the first coin. The coin hakrov ate some mizbeach zarko zrika achas kenegi yisod. And the kohen who's close to the mizbeach would sprinkle once the blood, where there is a opposite the foundation, and the blood would fall into the, I guess, the base in the mizbeach after we do all the sprinklings. So, right. Okay, that's just the order. So then, Yatsa Kas Rishona, the first group would leave. V'nichza Kas Shnia, the second group would come in. Yatsa Shnia, the second group would leave. V'nichza Shnia, and the third group would come in. K'bayas T'rishona K'bayas T'rishnia V'shlishis. The way the first group would leave, with the way that they would act in the first group, they would act in the second and third group as well. Karosahalo, during every group, when they begin to shet the korban, so they would read the halal. Im gamru, if they finish the halal, and there's still more to shecht, shanu, they'd say it a second time, halal. Im shanu shileshi, if they finish the second time, they would say halal a third time. Avabi shalo shilshim imehem. Even though it never happened that they had such beautiful chazanim who lengthened out the halals, that they never ever had to say halal a third time. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mimam shel kasa shlishis lo higia le'ahavti ki yishma b'nei she'am ama mu'atim." So Rabbi Yehuda says the third group never reached the section of even the third group. When they finished the third group, it even reached in the first halal of Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, because there were so few people in the third group, and they already finished the shechting. K'maseya b'chol, kach maseya b'Shabbos. The way they would bring the Korban Pesach on when the 14th fell out during the week, so too they would do it on Shabbos. El shekohanim medichim es ha'azara shelo b'ritzon chachamim. But the kohanim would rinse the floor, which the floor of the Azara, but the Chachamim were not happy with that, and we're going to explain their opposition in the Gemara. Rav Huda says, Kosei Mamale Midam HaTarovos. So there, the Kohen would fill one cup from the blood of the that was on the floor that was mixed with the Dam HaMizbachim. I guess there was some blood that was on the floor, right? Because he didn't catch everything.
And of course there was.
What?
Of course there was.
Yeah, right. They didn't catch everything. And they would sprinkle it on the mizbeach, and the Gemara is going to explain why. That was another thing. The first thing was shalom b'ritzon chachamim, them ritzing the azara during the floor of the courtyard of the mikdash. On Shabbos, that was lo b'ritzon chachamim, and sprinkling the blood that fell on the floor was not agreed to by the chachamim either. Now, after they sprinkled the blood, then they would flay the skin of the korban pesach, and then in order to remove the limbs and to burn them. So now we're going to explain how they did that. Ketzad tolim u'mafshitim. So how did they hang the korban pesach and flay the skin? Unklios shel barzel hayu kavun b'ksalim. So different, I guess, hooks that were bent of iron were fixed in the walls of the Azara. Uva mudim shebahem tolin, and I guess and there were beams that I guess were in the the butcher areas of the Azara. That was in the northern part of the Mizbeach. And there were, okay, so then you had these hooks, you had these pillars, Shebehem Tolin, you had these Shebehem Tolin Umafshitin. And here you would hang the animals, the sheep, after you slaughtered it, on the hooks and you flay the skin. If you didn't have a place to hang your sheep and to skin it, because it, other people, you know, were using it, maklos dakim v'chalakim, ha'yusham, so there were these thin rods, and I guess they were smooth, and they're in the azara, and you placed this staff, or this rod, on your shoulder, and the shoulder of your friend, and you'd hang the animal on the rod, umafshid, and then you would skin it there. So Rav Elazar says, Arba Asar, the 14th of Nisan, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, that fell on Shabbos, Meniach Yado Al Kasef Chavero, B'Yad Chavero Al Seifo. So then you weren't allowed to smooth the rods on Shabbos, so, because that's like Mamachek, that's the way Rashi explains, because you're smoothing, and right, so they would place that he'd place his left hand on the shoulder of his friend, al katef chavero, biyad chavero al kefo, and he'd place the hand of his friend on his own shoulder, vitola umafshit. I guess you'd suspend the Korban Pesach, I guess on the or was it on your arms? I guess right on the I would put my left hand on your shoulder. You'd put your right hand on my shoulder. So then I guess between our arms, so you'd put the sheep, and then you would skin it. Kra'o. So after you would skin the animal, or you'd rip it. You'd rip it from the stomach. V'holti es ha, you make a tear. And then v'holti es emurav. So you tear it in its stomach. Then you'd remove the limbs, the fats that are brought on the mizbeach. Nisano bimagis. You would place these limbs in a plate, in a holy ka'ara, in a holy plate, like a designated plate that was kadosh. V'iktiran al gavei mizbeach. You'd burn it on the mizbeach. Now, when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, and you weren't able to carry and to bring the Korban Pesach in Rosh Hashanah to your houses. So what are you supposed to do? Right? So they had to fix a place for every group that they would stay there until after Shabbos. Okay? Because you can't carry. Yatsa Kas HaRishona, the first group left, the Azara. Yashala B'Har HaBayis, and they'd wait by the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount. The Shnia, the second group, B'Chel. So that is, that's at the beginning, sort of the I think it's near the Ezra's Nashim. Vashlishis bimkoma omedes, and the third would just stay in the Azara. So you have three different locations, and they wait there till at the end of Shabbos. Chashecha yatsu b'tzolos pischehem, and once it became dark. And it's Saturday night, it's night of Pesach, 15th. So then they would go to their houses and they would roast the Korban Pesach. Okay. Now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Eina Pesach nishchad ela b'sholosh kito shel shloshim shloshim b'nei adam. The Korban Pesach is not shechted unless you have three groups of 30 people in every group. My time, what's the reason why you need 30 people in each group? The Gemara answers, Kohol Be'edav Yisrael. The Pasuk says, when it comes to Shechitas HaPesach, that it says, V'shechdu Asol Kol Kohol Das Yisrael. Kohol is 10, Eda is 10, and Asar and Yisrael is 10, so it's 30. V'sap Kalan, if someone can mute themselves until they want to talk, and there's some noise in the background. V'sap Kalan, Iba Bas Achas, Iba Zeh Achar Zeh. So we're not sure whether this means 30 at once, or three groups of 10 each. Therefore, but inan shalosh kito shel shloshim shloshim bnei adam. So we're machmer in both. Number one, each group has to have 30, and number two, we have to have three groups of at least 10. So it means at least three groups of 30. Diba bas achas, if you have 30 at once, ha'ika, you have 30. Right, if you have three groups of 30, if you have that, if we hold that it means that you have to have kal ada eda and yisrael all at once, so that's good. That's you have 30 people in every group. If the goal is you have to have three groups, one after the other, Ha'ika, you have that. So three groups of 30 That satisfies everything. Hilchach, therefore, since the reason that you need every group 30 people is because of the doubt, so you don't really need 90 people, but even with 50 people is enough. B'chamshi namisagi, with 50 people is enough. Why? The Aili Tlasin Va'avdi, so first you have 30 people who go in and they make the Korban Pesach, and then they leave, what happens? Aili Asar, then you have another 10, V'nafki Asar, then the 10 leave. Aili Asar, V'nafki Asar. You really only need 50, because you have 30, and then 10, and then 10, then that would also be enough, because why is that, right? Because if you hold that you need 30 at once, you have that. And if you need three groups of 10, you have that also. So you don't really need 90, you need 30, and then 10, and then 10. So the Mishnah says also, Nichnasa Kas Rishona, the first group enters. Itmar was said in the base of Ma'at Shabbat, Yomar Ninalu Tanan, that the doors of the Azara were locked. It was locked by themselves. It was miraculous. Rava Amar no alim tada. No, they locked them. In other words, people locked them. So my benayu could benayu lemismach anisa. Are you allowed to rely on a miracle? That's the difference between Abai and Rava. Abai Amar ninala tana. Abai says that they were locked, and as long as they were not locked, kama da'ailu ma'alu. Whoever wanted to enter could enter. V'samchina anisa. They relied on the miracle. And they're not concerned that maybe they're all going to come in and they're not going to be able to shacht it in three groups. Rava mar no'alim tanan. Rava says, no, we read it as no'alim, that we locked it. Velosim chinan nisa. We don't rely on the miracle. So, v'hadit nan, but behold, we're the mission of Rabbi Huda, chas v'sholom, she'kavim mehalo, nisnada, she'ein azar ninelas al kol adam b'yisrael, v'chok m'bir eschei k'kavim ben mehalo. Wait, Rabbi Huda says, chas v'sholom, to say the k'kavim mehalo, was put in Chereb because the Azara was not, when the Azara was locked in Erev Pesach, when there were a lot of people, there was no one as great in Chachma and Yira and Yira Sachet like him. So right, you can't say that at this time, when it was locked, there was no one as great as a Kavi ben Mahalalel. So what does that do with anything? So we're going to see. What does the statement mean? Abai Matari Tatame, Rav Matari Tatame. Each of Abai and Rava explain this statement in Adios, according to their own reasoning, whether it was locked miraculously or not. Abai Matari Tatame, Abai answers according to his reasoning. Ein Vazara Bisha'a, Sheninala al kol adam b'Yisrael, the chachma uveyiras chet kakavim mehalal. He said to me like this: there, at the time when the azara was locked by itself, there was no one as great in chachma and fear of God, fear of sin, like a kakavim mehalal. And Rav Matar Stame ain bazara b'shal shenolim osal kol yishev chachma uveyiras chet kakavim mehalal. Rava says what it means, he just reads it differently. He says that when they locked the gates at that time, and during that era, there was no one as great in Chachma and Yira Sachet like Akavya ben Mahalalel. They just have a different girsa in this Mishnah. Based on their machlokas, whether there was a miracle about the gates closing or whether there was no miracle. Tana Rabbanan, me'olam lo nisma'ech adam ba'azara, chutz mi'pesach echad shayu b'mei hilo shenismach bozokin echad v'hoi karno so pesach me'uchin. So they said that it's probably almost miraculously that there was never was a person trampled in the Azara and Erev Pesach, even though there were a lot of people there, except one Pesach in the days of Hillel, and one old man was trampled, was crushed, and they called it Pesach Me'uchin. That's from the word Ma'ach, that he was trampled. The Ramami Pano says that the elder who was trampled was the Gilgal of the Sar HaOfim that told bad, that was Mevasera Lab Yisrael. Okay, so different questions of who this person was. Okay, in any case, the Tana Rabbanan, Pabachas Bikish Agrippa Sabelach Litein Eda Beuchlosa Yisrael. So one time Agrippa is the king. I was speaking about him in Jewish history in my last Shabbos, not this past Shabbos, Shabbos before, So he was the king about 30 years before the destruction of the second base of Megdash, and he wanted to know the numbers, the population in Klal Yisrael. Amar Lei LeKohen Gadol. He said the Kohen Gadol, he was a descendant of Hordus of Herod. Tein Einecha B'Psachim. Why don't you go see how many Korbanos Pesach are shechted? Natal Kulya Mikol Echad. So I guess the Kohen took a kidney from every one of the Korbanos Pesach and counted them. Nitzusham Shishim Ribo Zuge Klayos. So there were 600,000. There were 600,000 pairs of kidneys. So that means what? So that's 1,200,000 kidneys. Kiflam Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. What? So they were Kiflam Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. It's like double the people left Egypt. Chutz mitamei v'shayeba derechokha. And that excludes those who were tamei and they were too far to get to Yerushalayim. So it doesn't count. There's only people who came. So the presumption is basically everyone followed halacha and everyone came to Yerushalayim except those who were too far and those who were tamei. And also that in every Korban Pesach, that there were about 10 people, for every animal, right? Because it's not for one person. But how you, right? So at least it's 10 times, it's like 12 million people. But you call also Pesach Me'uvin. It was a thick Pesach, because there were a lot of people. Okay. Natal Kulya. So if they took a the Baisa said they took a kidney.